Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gateway Mennonite Church. Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania. We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us. Gateway Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Let's pray together. Lord, I recognize that each person comes into this space in a different place, a different attitude of mind, but I'm struck this morning with just a sense of gratitude for all that you've done for us, Lord, for your great love for me, for each of us. We don't deserve it. You love us so much. You're your children. You're your beloved. There's so much to be thankful for and grateful for. Please bless this time we have in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you just sat down, but I'm going to invite you to take a couple minutes and greet those around you.
I think from his reaction, we need to put what he knew to Eliza.
And bring him back.
Catch all that happened, but he did a false start, fell in the water, and the normal thing was that he was qualified, but I forget exactly what the reasoning was, but they gave him a second chance, and they brought him back and let him swim. There was noise in the crowd, okay, or something that they deemed it was, it wasn't all his fault that he ever had a false start. The story of Jonah, which we're talking about today, and you have the Bible, and maybe you turn to Jonah. Kind of references second chances. Second chances aren't guaranteed. There are certain things in life that, you know, they happen, and you got one shot at it. But sometimes we are granted second chances. And spiritually, if you're alive, you know, if you're here today, in your walk with the Lord, if you are in need of another chance, God is waiting to give you one. And I think we can also learn, and we will learn, at least I did in reading this account again, that someone you know needs another chance. God may want to use you to give them that opportunity. Jonah 1. A message from the Lord came to Jonah. When God uses people, He could have spoke from the cloud to the people of Nineveh, but He uses people. And Jonah wasn't perfect. Uses imperfect people. In Amos 3:7 it says, "The Lord and King never does anything without telling His servants, the prophets, about it." The message of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. The Lord said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it. The sins of its people have come to my attention." You know that nothing goes unnoticed by God. Hebrews 4:13 it says, "Nothing God created is hidden from Him. His eyes see everything. He will hold us responsible for everything we do." Verse 3, "But Jonah ran away." Jonah's trip to Tarshish is kind of this idea of thinking we can run away from the Lord is kind of as ridiculous as us thinking that we can hide our sins from God. He sees everything. He knows everything. In some ways, that's a little bit worrisome to think about everything I've ever thought or done or said. You know, doesn't be accountable for it. But in another way, for me, it's kind of reassuring that nothing that's done in this earth is going to be wasted, or is God not going to make it right somehow. He headed for Tarshish, so he went down to the port of Joppa and found a ship that was going there. He paid a fare, went on board, and sailed there. He was running away from the Lord. But the Lord sent a strong man over the sea. God didn't let him go. He cared about this message that he wanted to send to Nineveh, and he also cared about Jonah being the one to deliver it. So he wasn't giving up on Jonah, he wasn't giving up on the people of Nineveh. And he doesn't want to give up on us. While the storm comes, the ship was in danger of breaking apart. Sailors are afraid and cry out to their own God for help. They threw the ship's contents into the sea. They're trying to make the ship lighter. I'm going to ask a question here and invite you to respond. What's something you might take from that section, that the ship was in danger of breaking apart and these sailors are crying out to their own God, they had to throw the contents of the ship into the sea. Can you draw any conclusions? Any thoughts come to your mind? Things that relative important? Okay, so the people are more. Okay, so someone probably paid money for the whatever the contents were for the ship, but okay, that's out the window now. We're just trying to save our soul. Thank you. Any other thoughts? What the ship's crew was experiencing?
It makes you search for something, whether it be the God of the universe or God of things.
And then the first part, the
tragedy,
makes you search. Tragedy makes you, okay, yeah. So when we face tragedy or crisis, we start asking some of the bigger questions and make the search for stuff. Well,
they wanted to preserve their life. They had to get rid of the stuff on board in order to save themselves.
Yeah.
So they had to get rid of all these things, even though it might have been important.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. The value of life, and they were willing to give up the other stuff that wasn't as important, given the situation. Kind of what stood out to me was, yeah, really this trouble, this loss of physical stuff, came about really because of Jonah's decision to run away from God. Verse 7, here is what the sailors said to one another. Someone is to blame for getting us into all this trouble. They were experiencing trouble, pain, their loss, potentially their lives because of Jonah's sin. I think we could draw from it that our sin can bring trouble, pain to not just ourselves, but to other people. They wake up Jonah and call him up and he keeps getting rougher. What should we do? Verse 12, he says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then it will be calm. I know it's my fault that this terrible storm has come to you." So Jonah admits his sinfulness. He recognized that this storm had come on men because of what he did. I think that's the start of his turnaround. What is being willing to admit his sinfulness. He says, "Throw me into the sea." But the men didn't do what he said. Instead, they did their best to row back to land. They couldn't. The sea grew rougher and rougher. They cried out to the Lord. I'm going to ask you this question about this section too. They cried out to the Lord. They prayed, "Please, Lord, don't let us die for taking this man's life. After all, he might not be guilty of doing anything wrong, so don't hold us responsible for killing him. Lord, you always do what you want to do." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the stormy sea calmed down. And for all that had happened, then they began to have great respect for the Lord. They offered sacrifice to him and they made promises to him. What might he be able to get out of that fellowship? Any thoughts? What we could take from that? No wrong answer.
God finds you don't have to wake up with full fit and turn all these men to what's going to be here that's going to grab the attention of the men that fail all the time.
Yeah, thank you. So God used this to kind of wake them up spiritually. These men were familiar with being on the road in the ocean, trusted they were bad. Yeah, thank you. They apparently maybe didn't have much faith in their own God, so they're praying to whoever first. Now Jonah says the thing he's willing to be burned into the sea, and now they're all kind of praying to God, the God. Now, both of those kind of relate to what I was thinking next. Jonah's admission of sin leads others to know the true God. So they begin praying to him, they show fear and great respect for the Lord, they offer a sacrifice and then vows and promises to him. Someone's right there, they're beginning a relationship with the Lord because of Jonah's willingness to admit his sin. So maybe sometimes in our desire to be a light to those around us, sometimes that might be us admitting when we screw up. Now the Lord sent a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I just know that so God provided for his purposes. You know, sometimes you think everything's going wrong and there's no way to work this out. Jonah is however far away from where he was going, and now he's thrown in the water and he's drowning. There's no hope. But God provides a way for his purposes. And this story shows up in many children's Bible stories. I think partly because it's very visual and this huge fish is involved in the story. But God is providing for his purposes. Jesus refers to this account right in this verse. Now Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days, 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. From the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed. So Jonah begins turning back to the Lord now. But really, it began when he admitted sin. And I think that's true for all of us. When we admit that we're sinful and we are in need of a Savior, that's the beginning of our walk with the Lord. He acknowledges that when he prayed to him, God answered him. So Jonah was dying, I don't know how far, how many feet down in the water he was thinking. And I think drowning would be a really horrible way to die. I just think it would be feel so helpless and so you're swimming and you suddenly you gradually lose the strength to keep yourself above water. And Jonah went through that experience, near death, near drowning, and God saved him. And Jonah acknowledges God's help as he saved him. There's many verses there of this prayer of thanksgiving. And in verse 9 it says, I will say, Lord, you are the one who saved. To me, he's kind of saying, okay, I will speak for you. I ran away and told him to speak, but I've got to speak for you now. And again, God provides for his purposes. He still has his plan. He still has a heart for Nineveh. He still has a heart for Jonah to be the spokesperson. And once you know it, fish spits him out on dry land. He doesn't digest him. God provides for his purpose. Yesterday was a funeral for Dan Langman, a longtime member here. And one of the stories that different family members shared, one of the stories was interesting to me, kind of relates to this idea that God provides for his purposes, was that the farm that they lived in, there was a schoolhouse next door that was for sale, and they understood that a man was going to buy it and was going to turn it into a saloon, a bar. And Dan, Mildred were not well to do, but he made the decision to buy that schoolhouse. Wasn't planning on it, but when they found out about just potentially being a bar right inside their home, he bought that property. And I was talking to one of the daughters, and she said, I don't know how he did that. I don't know. He must have asked relatives for money or someone to go to the bank for him. And she said, Mom, isn't able to communicate enough right now to be able to say, she said, I just don't know how that all worked out. But to me, it was an example of Dan kind of taking a step of faith and trying to shelter or care for his family, and he made that decision, and God provided for his purpose. Jonah 3, message from the Lord came to Jonah a second time, so he had a second chance to obey. Go to the great city of Nineveh, announce to the people the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. As he went, he announced in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. So Jonah's announcement, his message, was the message that God gave him. It wasn't what necessarily what he wanted to say, or it was God's message. Offensive or not, he was saying what God told him to say. And the people of Nineveh believed God's warning. So again, kind of like Jonah's life and his admission of sin, that was the start of his restoration. That seems to be the start of the restoration for the people of Nineveh. They admit that they were doing wrong. And they proclaim this fact, every one of them. And the king of Nineveh makes a decree for all the people. And it was interesting, even the herds and flocks were to fast. What would you think about that, Lamar? Someday you're not supposed to feed or give any water to your cattle. It'll be poison. Yeah, it'd be challenging to go along with that command of the king. But being like the country, the city as a whole, was in repentance. And God saw what they did. They stopped doing what was evil, and he took pity on them, verse 10. He didn't destroy them as he had said he would. And chapter 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. He became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Here's what Jonah said to him. Lord, isn't this exactly what I thought would happen when I was still at home? That is what I tried to prevent by running away from Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious. You are tender and kind. You are slow to get angry. You're full of love. You are a God who can save your people. You don't want to destroy them. Lord, take away my life. I'd rather die than live. Why do you think Jonah is so angry about God's kindness to these people? What do you think? Why was Jonah so upset that God is forgiving them? What did they do to deserve forgiveness? Okay? What did they do to deserve forgiveness?
You wanted
them to be destroyed. Yeah.
You
just forgot that he was forgiven. Yes. So sometimes you hear it from me, but I've heard it way, you know, people are really hard-nosed about spiritual things to an unbeliever, the phrase sometimes is turn or burn. Jonah wanted them to burn. He didn't have any compassion on them. And why is that? Who are these people of Nineveh? Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And these were people who, they were enemies, basically. They were fighting in war against the Israelites. Jonah didn't want them to be forgiven. He knew how evil they were. And he was comparing them to himself and maybe how good he looked compared to them. But we never do that, right? We never look at other people and think of ourselves as better. Or think that they don't deserve compassion, forgiveness. They've got an answer for that. Verse 4, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? God gives Jonah a thoughtful question. And it does seem that, at least right here, that he doesn't give him the answer that he does or no, and Jonah doesn't respond at this time. Sometimes maybe God gives us, through his Spirit, thoughtful questions. Is it right for me to dot, dot, dot? You fill in the blank. Is it right for me to whatever? Jonah had left the city. He sat down to place east of it. There he put some branches over his head and he sat down in the shade. He waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord sent a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah. You know, this whole thing with this plant, what's going to happen, is God taking time to teach Jonah. He cares enough, not just about Nineveh, but he cares enough about this messenger that he's sending to teach him. This plant gives him shade and made him more comfortable. Jonah was very happy about this plant that had grown up. But before sunrise the next day, God sent a worm that chewed the plant so much that it dried up. When the sun rose up, he sent a burning east wind and the sun beat down on Jonah's head, made him very weak. Picture that, some of the hot days we've had recently. Jonah baking out there in the sun. And he's so upset he wants to die. I'd rather die than live. God spoke to Jonah, compassionately trying to teach him, says, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Very similar to that question he asked him earlier. Jonah is kind of disgruntled and upset. It is. In fact, I'm so angry I wish I was dead. But the Lord says, you have been concerned about this plant. You did not take care of it. You did not make it grow. It grew up from one night and died the next. You're concerned about this plant enough that you would die. Shouldn't I, God saying this, shouldn't I show concern for the great city of Nineveh? As more than 120,000 people can't tell right and wrong, and many animals as well. God is teaching Jonah about his heart of compassion, of love for people. And he was also compassionate towards Jonah, the messenger, in being willing to give him a second chance, give him the opportunity to learn from his compassion. You know, there's elements of this story that connect with unforgiveness, with bitterness, with prejudice, with racism. But Jonah didn't want to have really anything to do with these people. He didn't want to be involved in offering them forgiveness. Maybe he cared about his reputation. When Jonah was saying it, you know, I proclaimed this, that Nineveh is going to be destroyed, and now I know God's going to forgive them, so my word is in the way. God's not going to do what I said. Maybe he felt like somehow made him look bad. Does unforgiveness or bitterness or anger or prejudice or racism or our reputation get in the way of what God wants to do through us? There's several different points I'll end with here. I'll read them and then say a few words about, come back and say a few words about each of them. So God uses imperfect people. You and I are imperfect. Jonah is imperfect. But God uses imperfect people. We can't hide our choices or our sins from God. We can't hide our choices or our sins from God. Our sin sometimes causes trouble for other people. Admission of our sin, repentance, can lead others to the Lord. God gives second and third chances to the lost and to his followers. He shows incredibly great patience, grace, and love. We need God's help to have his heart and perspective towards others. So God uses imperfect people. Jonah wasn't a native missionary. You notice that? So there's a, I read a great book by K.P. Yohanna, I think is how you say his name, the executive director of Gospel for Asia. But the book is all about the value of sending native ministries, missionaries into their own country, which I very much agree with. In this case, Jonah is not a native missionary. He's an outside person. He's not from their culture. There's this animosity. They're enemies. And yet that's where God sent him. Can you imagine being sent, I don't know, Syria or somewhere else, to a Middle Eastern country, a Muslim country, and your message is you're going to be destroyed. I can understand maybe a little of that gender ran away. You and I are the Jonah. We're the messengers. Is God sending you to school? College, to your workplace, to your football team, to your neighborhood, to your street, to your extended family. You're the Jonah. Don't run away. You can't hide our choices, our sins. You might be able to hide things from your parents, or your spouse, or your relatives, or your co-workers. God knows it all. Our sin causes trouble for others. I encourage myself and all of us to avoid the mess. Choose God's way. And when you do mess up, ask for forgiveness. Admission of sin leads others to the Lord. God often gives people a second chance. If you are in need of another chance, God is waiting to give you one. We need God's help to have your heart and perspective. Don't let unforgiveness or prejudice or racism or your own reputation be more important than caring about other people and having his heart towards them. And maybe someone you know needs another chance. It's like Nineveh needed another chance. God may want to use you to give them that opportunity. Please pray for me. Lord, thank you for this very familiar account of Jonah. Thank you that you didn't care just about the people of Israel. You cared about all people. And this was an example, even before Jesus came, died for all of us. This was an example of your heart. These were people even who were enemies of God. And your heart was for them to turn to you. You also had a heart for Jonah, your messenger. You gave him a second chance to obey, to follow your ways, to deliver that bad news that turned into good news when they responded to it. Help us, God, to turn to you and to be willing to share the good news, giving others an opportunity for a second chance through Jesus. In your name we pray.
Turn to page number 586. Jesus.
Thank you for coming.